Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. Anything about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. It's a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens football podcast. Thank you so much for listening in and going phone to phone this week. We got me and my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, Brandon. Hey, Baltimore. What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man? Are you stuffed? Is your stomach filled with all those brownies that you ate over this weekend?
Oh, man, I got stuffed with all kinds of junk brownies and creamy brownies. I don't know what I ate, but I was fooled by the end of the game. I tell you what, I don't know what kind of brownies you had, but it started off good, and then I guess they got burnt halfway through the game. I don't know what was going on.
I don't think it's just you and I, but actually, you know, Coach John Harbaugh, he had some choice words to say, too, where this game last Sunday was, it's a win, and you really can't complain about a win, but at the same time, it wasn't pretty, and that's kind of been the ongoing theme for this year, wins, but nothing really pretty about the game.
Well, if you say anything about complaining, I'm far from complaining. I mean, if you talk to me, I mean, my team's 6-2, I'm going to smile like $1 million. I mean, what, second or third best record at AFC? We're right there in the thick of things, you know, right in the playoff hunt, halfway through the season. I'm not complaining. I mean, it could be the Jaguars at 1-7. I mean, you know, there's other things that we can be concerned about. Yes, this team has concerns, Brandon, but keep it in perspective here. We're 6-2. Yeah, yes, we went ugly. I actually love it because, you know, back when our defense was great, I love winning nasty with the defense. Now, it's basically winning ugly with both, like, no offense and what defense is on the field to begin with. It's kind of incredible how it's happening, and it's happening right before our eyes, whether it's – I don't like winning pretty. I mean, winning pretty is for the birds these days. I mean, I don't like winning, like, college football. I hate watching college football and winning 62-0. Like, what's that about? Like, that's not winning to me. That's just child's play. So let's line up and play football, and I like a hard-fought contest. Brandon, you could agree with me. It was a hard-fought divisional game, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. It was, you just said it, divisional game, and they're the most important ones during the regular season. And the Ravens came out and they played, again, it wasn't a pretty game, but it was still a hard-fought victory by these guys. And I got to say, they're still fun to watch, and it's a different team than what we were expecting. I'll say that at the beginning of the year, we really thought we had a new kind of offense, doing the no-huddle offense, and we thought we had this great defense. You know, Ray Lewis, Ladarius Webb, Haloti Ngata, Suggs coming back eventually. We didn't have a lot of concerns, not a lot of holes at the beginning of the season. But now that those holes have kind of expanded and we kind of know halfway through what this team is going to look like, it's a team that you got to expect the unexpected, I guess, with this team for this season.
You do. Expect the unexpected. That's basically what sports is all about. It's not right in the script. I mean, we can preview the game. All the Ravens are going to be projected this, and the offense is going to do this, and the defense is going to do that, and special teams is going to happen, and you really can't. And that's why the beauty of sports and the beauty of predicting things and beauty of, oh, my God, there's upsets, there's underdogs. Oh, my. I mean, really. That's the beauty of this game, the beauty of any sport for that matter. You know, come on, Brandon. It is what it is. This team 6-2. I'm not going to sit here and complain. You know, we dominated the Browns the opening drive in the first quarter. It was great. I was enjoying that. I mean, okay. You know, we go down, you know, score to 7, score to 14. Ray Rice junking 6, 7, 8 yards a run. And finding the sticks, first downs, methodical. We moved the chains right down the field. Got a touchdown. I was very happy to see the switch up with Bernard Pierce and Ray Rice. What a breath of fresh air that was. And Ray Rice got his touches. Look, again, the success formula here. 25 touches for Ray Rice. It's not that hard, guys. You know, Bernard Pierce had his 12 touches. He had a touchdown. Ray Rice got 25 for 98 in the touch. I think that's a really good mix-up. And I do not see any faults in Cameron's play calling this week. I think it was actually even the kid. I think we threw the ball 30 sometimes, maybe even 24 times if I look back correctly. Flacco was fine. Again, he made no mistakes. You know, you look at a Michael Vick type where he's throwing 14, 15 interceptions already. Flacco's probably, what, at five, you know?
Yeah.
Come on, seriously, Brandon. Just keep it perspective here. If you look at it, break it down. 25-15. Yes, we started losing by 1 point at 15-14 at one point. We had 14 points scored, and then they scored 15 straight for whatever reason. I don't get it. Turning point in the game for me. You're looking back right at the end of the second half. We got the ball back off a turnover. Kerry Williams, miraculously intercepted Howell forever. Ed Reed drops the football. Go three and out. You lay a goose egg on that. That is uncalled for. Not to say we're an elite team, but if you want to be the elite in the AFC and go towards the playoffs, you gotta at least get three there. Seven would have been huge. Three would have been even good. And they didn't get nothing. And what happened? At that point, again, it's 14-6 if we look at it. The Ravens could have been 17-6 at half, or even 21-6, where that could have been out of reach. Well, what happened was you get three and out. Cleveland drives in the field, kicks a late field goal at the end of the half, and it's 14-9. Now we're all sweating bullets for the next 15 minutes and waiting until the third quarter starts, because I don't know about you, but I spent the whole half time trying to figure out what am I seeing here. I didn't know it was like a tale of two quarters, and then apparently our team got lost in, what, 2.5 quarters?
Yeah.
What was this about?
Yeah, you know, it was a really weird game. It was very, very... It never felt like it got away from the Ravens. Like, I always had confidence that these guys were going to keep the lead, and even though they lost the lead for, you know, a few plays, I always felt like, you know, this wasn't something they weren't going to be able to bounce back from. I thought this was going to be something that they were going to walk away from with a win. I do want to touch on Bernard Pierce. This guy gets a touchdown. I think it's his first NFL touchdown, and really showed a lot in this game, but at the same time, he showed a lot of good things and bad things, where I kind of think, like, Bernard Pierce and Michael Orr might be having a competition on, like, who can get the most flags in one game, because this guy was constantly getting flags, you know, thrown his way, and to give up, like, 15 yards in the red zone, he got a flag for unsportsmanlike conduct because he kicked a guy while he was on the ground. That was a really dumb play by him, but he did make it up later on with a touchdown, so kind of hard to complain about it, but this guy, he's young, so he's still got a lot to learn. But it does worry me that he can get a little hot-headed that easily. So that's something I definitely want to look at. On the defensive side for this game, Kerry Williams, again, you know, his name has come up a lot. I brought it up a lot. I said that I wasn't a fan of his at the beginning of the year, but he's really showing something in these last couple games. These interceptions, man, most he's ever had. I think against the Browns, the first time we met him this season was his first career interception. Now the ball just comes to the guy. He's like the new version of Ed Reed. And also, Ed Reed had a pretty great interception himself late in the game. You know, typical Ed Reed fashion, you know, he kind of turns his shoulder towards the ball and he kind of steps backwards and catches it in typical Ed Reed fashion. You don't see him coming. He's just there. So pretty amazing stuff by Ed Reed and Kerry Williams and Bernard Pierce, you know, good and bad. You can see this guy's definitely still learning.
Very good points there, Brandon. I was just listening to you on that. And just touching on some things you said. Not that I disagree nor agree. There's some points in there I agree and disagree. Right back with Bernard Pierce going back to his penalty. Yes, it was unsportsmanlike. I'm not saying I'm blaming the rules of the NFL, but yeah, he was kicking, you know, guy, but you have to look at it. Is it intentional or not? It's the same thing with these stupid helmet hits, these stupid unnecessary roughnesses. And hits to the head, blows the head. I don't know what you call this crap, but the NFL, you know, again, you know, yes, it's player safety, but was Bernard Pierce irritated? Yeah, but the guy was on top of him. He wanted to get up. You know, we're trying to run an offense here. He could be, I mean, really, if you look at it, you could blame the Browns defensive guy for being delayed a game because you're preventing Pierce from getting up. Yes, it's a retaliation. Yes, he shouldn't kick it. You have to hold your composure. But I don't blame him for getting a little intense. I think that's what the Ravens lack. I'm not saying that they're soft by any chance. They're 6-2, and we're winning football games. And not to say that, you know, with Ray Lewis gone and everything, we lack passion. But maybe this is what we need instead of just, you know, getting up and let. I mean, I don't know about you, but speaking of him kicking him, the Browns, I was getting frustrated because the Browns players were throwing our players around and roughing our guys. I mean, one of their guys, you know, messing with Marciano, you know, took off his helmet and blah, blah, blah. Not that a penalty didn't get called, but I was more fired up when they're calling things on us and it's halfway through the third quarter and the penalty, and there's no penalties under the Browns stat line. I'm like, I find that hard to believe because they're playing as dirty as we were, you know. And I'm not saying we were playing dirty, but come on, Brandon, you just gotta look at it. And I don't think that, you know, that should have been called in that thing. Yeah, if it was intentional, or yeah, if he blew out a knee or he actually hurt somebody, but I don't even think he landed a clean shot with his feet. He was just kicking. And the refs kind of, you know, realize that they're grown men playing a grown men's game. It's football. It's a hard, hot-headed, hot-heated, contested divisional battle between two teams that don't like each other. Whoa. Trust me, the Ravens Steelers playing in a week and a half. We're not going to, you know, they're not going to play with that. They're probably going to get away with that because that's a Ravens Steelers game, typical. But here's the thing, you know, just overall breaking down the game, when it mattered, I don't know what the offense, they've disappeared in what, the Bermuda Triangle or the Cleveland Triangle or whatever triangle you make up. They disappeared. And it was very odd to me. Here we go, Ravens football. We do what's good, then they disappear, and all of a sudden when they need to do it, where's that for two, three and a half quarters, maybe all the way through the game? I don't know what it was. I don't think it was play calling, because the play calling was there. I think it was more execution. I think the Ravens got up and they got lax. And it just went to three and out mode, and it's not the old Ravens days where we go three and out, where we can stop and get the ball back. Well, we can't, because it showed. Thank God the defense let up five field goals instead of one or two touchdowns traded for field goals. It would have been a loss. And how huge was that penalty on the illegal formation? I think, Brandon, where, you know, they threw the touchdown to go ahead, and they called it back, and they ended up taking the field to go ahead by one. That would have been the game right there. Not to say that I have confidence in the team to lead them down, but not when I haven't seen it since the first quarter. Damn, we're going to win that game. I can put my money on that. Again, the Ravens scored 10 points in the end of the game when they needed to do. Flacco took them down the field. What a move by Torrey Smith. You know, with the in-and-out move, he caught it and turned around on the outside curl. And it took it straight. That reminded me of the same play he did in the AFC Championship against New England, where he took the ball and actually faked like almost like a fadeaway in basketball, where he was cutting inside, spins all the way around, and he turns all the way back to the sideline and runs down the sideline. It was a great move by Torrey Smith. It was an incredible play, athletic play. He got in the end zone, and then we got the other three with the every interception to secure it. Overall performance, it was kind of lackluster, but they needed to do what they needed to do to get the win, and it ended up another divisional win, and very impressively, 10 straight overall against the Cleveland Browns. You look at this right now, Flacco, Rice, and Harbaugh, and since 2008, they have not lost a Cleveland since Harbaugh came in 08, since Flacco came in 08, since Rice came on board. Since the 2008 season, we're undefeated against Cleveland, which is unprecedented. Wouldn't you agree on that one?
Absolutely. You know, these guys are amazing. And Cleveland Browns, you could tell, especially the owner, when they had a camera on him, he wanted a win more than anything to take out the Ravens. And the Ravens stood tall. And even though we've talked about this entire time, wasn't a pretty game, down and dirty, but they still came out with a win. And it's a huge feat for these guys. They're a divisional team, so we see a lot of them. But to have that record is a great thing for the team.
Very much so. I did see that on the TV. They showed him how agonizing it was. And, yeah, we've had a couple of those defeats, too. We've been there. We all fought that AFC title game last year. We've had those in Baltimore. Speaking of that, in the pain, I actually talked to a couple fans this week that were actually took the trip in Cleveland. They said they took a weekend out of it, visited the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And they actually said, you know, not that, you know, we all have our mix of fans where there's some dirty fans and clean fans, but my client at my job said that he went, and for the most part, the Cleveland fans were like looking at Ravens fans nastily, and I guess so because of what the whole Art Modell thing and how they feel about us. The whole we took, you know, their team and blah blah. Well, they got it back obviously because we were playing in Cleveland. I don't know where, I guess what team we were playing against, but I think it was the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland, Ohio, in Cleveland Brown Stadium. So last time I checked, you got your team back, Cleveland. So shut up. So that's just my opinion about it. I'm tired of hearing about that. You got your team back. God bless it. You know, they're horrible. And I'm just going to put that on the record because obviously it's true. So, but overall, again, you really, really can't, you know, gush about that because basically it was a good Ravens win. You know, again, from the offense, I have no answers for that. I don't know why the offense disappeared. I was trying to find something to talk about it this whole week, saying there's no good scheme about it, and I'm not going to make any excuses for the team. I'm not going to, you know, you're not going to find any soundbites making excuses for any player or any coach. Like Harbaugh said, we got to play better. this team has to play better. Right now, they're not really playing best football, and that's what's really funny. Brandon, if you look at this, we're 6-2 football team, and we haven't played our best football. What happens if the light bulb goes off and they find the mojo they did against Cincinnati on Monday night opening week one? Then look out. Then it's lights out. Again, they didn't have they still had Webb, they still had Ray at the time, and they didn't have subs. Some things have changed since then. But we're still searching for identity, but I think when the Ravens find their identity quickly, teams are in trouble around here.
Oh, yeah, totally. I completely agree with you there. I mean, if these guys can get back into that groove from that first game, get that excitement back to finally we're playing football again, the team would be unstoppable. It's a different team than we started out with, but it's still a good team no matter what, and there's no other way to slice that pie. It is a good team, and it's a team that we can all be proud of, and it's Like you said earlier, who wants, a blowout game? Those aren't fun, but
No, they're not fun
because you get bored halfway through. But this is a team that we're still going to be fans of, and we do have a lot of great tools still. And it's just making sure everybody comes together and forms that team bond, and everybody can work together and do what's right for the team. So hopefully we see that soon, and hopefully we see that before the postseason or anything like that. Hopefully we get through these next couple of games. We got big ones coming up. This is not an easy schedule coming up. We're getting down to the really nasty stuff. Steelers, 2 out of 3 weeks. Those are going to be rough and tumble games. So definitely something to think about. Before we move on, though, wanted to bring up two things for you. That Ed Reed interception during the game, did you see Ray Rice on the sidelines cracking up and pointing at the Cleveland Browns player when he missed the ball?
No, I did not see that. I must have missed that.
All right, if you see anything on YouTube or anything like that where of Ed Reed catching this ball, Ray Rice is on the sideline and he steps out and he is just pointing and laughing at the guy who missed the pass. It is really funny, especially when they show it in slow motion, because Ray Rice is having a great time at this player's expense. It's really great stuff.
Well, as you should. Number one, we won the game at that point, I think.
Yeah.
Where it sealed the fate. Second off, that's kind of the comical thing about the NFL. You can laugh at other players, and it was a bad route. I knew it all the way when the guy didn't look around. He looked back for the ball and forgive me, I'm trying to even figure out the quarterback's name. Oh, Brandon Weedham, by the way. Yeah. He threw the ball, and it was a total disregard of who's out there again. Like with Tom Brady's rule on his little wristband, where's number 20? Well, obviously he didn't look for number 20 because Ed Reed was standing right there. So it looked like he was just throwing a dead read, which was pretty comical. I mean, yeah, we all laughed at it, but no, I didn't see that, and I think that's pretty awesome, if you ask me.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find that clip, and I'll tweet it to you. But, man, it was really funny to see Ray Rice pointing and laughing at another player. And other news, Ravens news this week. Torrey Smith was on ESPN earlier today. This is Thursday as we record this, and the dude gave himself a C-plus for his performance. Now, I got to ask you, I don't think that he has a C+. I think he's a solid B+, A- for what he's doing right now. I think he scored himself a little low. What do you think?
Himself, personally, I mean, he did score the touchdown to kind of decide it. Giving himself a C+, maybe a B-. C+ is kind of lowballing it. B-, not B+. B+ is too high. But overall, I don't know if anybody's seen, the scorecards in the Baltimore Sun, if anybody's seen anything out there online about the Ravens report cards. It was pretty bad, because it was pretty bad. I mean, it was like, an A- effort in the first quarter, and all of a sudden the team just dropped. A C+, C-, whatever he graded himself, I kind of like that. Not to say it shows humbleness, but it shows that, hey, I'm not the only one on this team showing up for Sunday, and it takes 11 players on offense, 11 players on defense. There's a 53-man roster. I kind of like that grade for him. He did, but I wouldn't grade him personally as a C-. I would have said a B- or right in the B range, because he did, like I said, he got the touchdown. He did a great athletic move, like I described before, the inside-out move, the curl. It was great. But I do like that. I like him coming out. And speaking of other Ravens in the media, how about another battle with Terrell Suggs and his old good buddy Skip Bayless? Wasn't that great?
Oh, man, Suggs has always got something to say.
these two are comical. I'm telling you what, man. Just watching these two talk, I almost live for the first take segments on ESPN, because it's just, every time they have them on, it's just, Skip Bayless just loves bashing us, and it's just something else to just see Suggs defend, and it's just great. And he even called Flacco Fluco, which is pretty funny, and I'm referring to Skip Bayless calling about Flacco, and he just doesn't like Joe Flacco for some reason. He doesn't like the Ravens, and he doesn't think we can win, and blah, blah. And Stephen A. Smith was in Suggs' corner that he still thinks the Ravens are a playoff team. Skip Bayless doesn't think so, but I say, hey, guys, go out and prove him wrong. Let's go out and win some football games and finish the season with some double-digit wins. Let's get a postseason berth. I like to lock that up to prove them wrong. I say prove on the field. Instead of sitting there talking out talk shows, I mean, it's fun and all, but and Suggs knows this, and I don't have to say it for him or any other player for that matter, but let's do it on the field. So I don't really trash talk with fans. I really have fun with fans. But I don't trash talk because you know what? My team's going to trash your team on my trenches come Sunday. So that's how I leave it, especially, you know, with Steelers fans coming up and, you know, with the Cleveland Browns fans I always mess with. That's how it is, especially with the Cowboys fans. It's like, look, I'm not going to talk trash until my team beats you, especially with the Patriot fans on Sunday football. That was really fun to deal with. They were really giving me their full tilt. Oh, what? Wait, our team just won, so ha, laugh. That's why I let my team do the talking. I've always done that as a fan. And with the Steelers matchups, I kind of get more heated because I hate the Steelers, so, and I hate them more often than anybody else. So, but anyway, you know, not to really spin out of control of topic, which we tend to do here, and I love it because we're just two guys who just, you know, love talking about nonsense, don't we?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what this podcast is for. That's pretty much it for this game. We have another big game coming up this Sunday. Oakland stopping into town.
The Raiders. That's how we say it, right? The Raiders.
The Raiders.
The Raiders. Yeah, they're coming into town, you know, minus a few players. I know they got zinged up a little bit on Sunday. How about Doug Martin running all over them? What was that about? I think I could use my fantasy team, but good Lord, 250 yards and four, count them, four touchdowns? Great Lord, man. Woo-hoo. Oh, man. I feel confident with Ray Rice now. You know, come on. Ray Rice should get six touchdowns. Good Lord. Man, this defense, hey, you know, it's the Oakland Raiders. They're an NFL team. I'm not going to really go out the wall and predict a 30-0 Ravens win here and blow the doors off the car here. But you got to keep in perspective, you know, Run DMC is not going to play. I don't think so. He should be inactive. Speaking of Darren McFadden, he got hurt. And their backup, Mike Goodson, got hurt as well. So now they're down to their third and fourth stringers, Marshall Reese and Tawan Jones. With the Ravens defense, any offensive player on that side of the ball is going to be a threat to us. So I'm not saying I'm scared of them, but again, they're NFL players, but they're backs that we really haven't game plan for, and they're not really known. So I wouldn't say the film's light on these guys, but it is. It has to be light. And I know the Ravens are professionals enough to know that. And I'm interested to see how the game plan for these backs, because I don't know any much about them. I tried to find some things about them. I don't know. But Carson Palmer's Carson Palmer. He gave us fits when he was in Cincinnati. They got some weapons. You know, Denarius Moore's a weapon. Darius Herube, we all know, was a former Terp around here. We all know what he's capable of. In the defensive front, we got Richard Seymour on the other side. So bringing the havoc on that defensive side of the football, they got to be keen on blocking that. And it's one of the keys it comes down to is it's going to be, again, you know, can we protect Joe Flacco? Can we get to the opposing quarterback? And can we run the football effectively? Again, the recipe for success stays the same week to week. I'm not going to hear from that because I think that's the Ravens' success for football going into this game with Oakland. It is at the bank, down the stadium, at the Big Purple Palace. I'm not really too concerned about that because me and you will be part of the 12th man.
That's right.
Sunday.
I like to say, sir, this is what we're doing. We are causing a ruckus at M&T Bank Stadium.
Oh, my God. And they're going to be able to call invades to the stadium, man. They're going to be lookout. We're going to have to hum the welcome wagon for us, because you're going to know we're going to invade, right?
Oh, of course, man. You know, people are going to, like, you know, move out of the way when we come walking in.
You got it. So I said the welcome wagon. They're going to just welcome us to open arms. Oh, look, Brandon and Josh, look out, people. I've already worn. I warned my coworker because I got the privilege to extend some tickets to my coworker and her fiance. And I'm telling you what, I love taking people who've never been to a game. Because it makes it that much more sweeter to appreciate it. But I'm telling you what, he's not been to a Ravens game ever.
Oh, wow.
Ever. Yeah, and he was always wanting to go, and the reason obviously being because the tickets are always so expensive, we're fortunate enough to get in on the ground floor, so, you know, we got the hookups with the season ticket plans, not going to give away my secrets about the hookups, but we got the hookups and we're able to, you know, take a nice group there. And I know me and you're going to have a ball. We enjoyed the O's game a couple months ago, and the call's going to move from Camden Yards to the O's game. Now we're going to invade M&T Bank Stadium. Brandon, I really can't wait for this. It's going to be a treat to enjoy the game with you. You're getting to see how nutty I am. I already warned her. I was like, you think I'm nutty now at work? Just wait till you see me at the game. You're going to be like, oh my God. Like, I take you think I'm passionate now on the podcast and everything else. Wait till you see me. I take it to a whole nother level at the stadium, I'm telling you, especially during game day. And don't even get me started, because next week, Steeler Heat Week, we're going to have all kinds of fun. But, again, not to overlook the Oakland Raiders, get ahead of myself here. I'm just too excited right now. But when am I not excited?
You're always excited. It's constantly, every single time I talk to you, it's like you've had four or five Red Bulls already. So.
I swear, I actually just drank water. So I'm not kidding. It's actually H2O. No caffeine, no coffee. I had my dinner. I'm good to go. I had coffee this morning. That was, over 12 hours ago?
Pretty much.
No, I'm good. I'm high on Ravens, and I'm just passionate about my purple guys, man. I'm telling you. I can't say enough. But anyway, you know, we're going to be there. Hopefully any fans are there. Feel free to tweet us. Find us. We're going to be in section 517, right above the tunnels on the upper level. It's going to be fun. It's going to be ruckus. We're going to cause a ruckus because we're the call, and we can do that because we're allowed to, and there's no rules around here, so we can do whatever we want. Anyway, get back to task at hand. I kind of wanted to do a fun thing this week. I know we did the brownies last week. I'm not sure we're going to eat any Raiders this week, I'm telling you what, because that might be pretty nasty, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I hope the black hole don't come to Baltimore, because that's pretty scary. We can be scary ourselves. We have some passionate fans, and we're going to see that during the tailgate lots and all the way through. But the black hole's pretty scary. Actually, recently, they have some pretty hardcore fans out there in Oakland.
Yeah, they do.
They do, and I'm pretty scared of them sometimes. But, hey, we're more intimidating. Ravens got them all the way. But I kind of want to do a fun little segment this week. I want to jump on the train here. Speaking of the Raiders coming in, I want to do a kind of a cool little thing here called Raiders of the Lost Ark segment, obviously, of the Indiana Jones theme here. We kind of wanted to play on that a little bit. And anything short of bullwhips and snakes and treasures and maps and sands and all that mess, but we're not finding treasure. Hopefully the treasure we find is a seventh win on the season to bring us to 7-2 and another home win, another AFC win. But as we're going to cue the music up here, obviously we're going to have a little fun with the theme music bringing us in here. But as we get that queued up, I'm actually going to throw some tidbits out there of, again, Raiders of Lost Ark. I think our fans are going to love this little segment. So here we go. That was pretty refreshing. I bring it back to memories of the old Indiana series, man. Not Troy Harrison Ford. What was your favorite movie, by the way, of that series?
I don't even think I can pick a favorite. I can tell you, it was definitely not the one with Shia LaBeouf in it. Other than that.
Yeah, that got corny at the end. I'm like, aliens, really? Everything's right. I was like, that's crazy. But mine would have to be... the tie between the Temple of Doom and the Last Crusade. Last Crusade is probably my favorite one because the whole Holy Grail thing and his father, and that was a pretty cool episode. Or I would say movie for that matter. But no, they were great movie series, and I kind of had fun with this one, even the theme of the movie. I kind of went for some tidbits, and obviously going back when, yeah, I'll start with the most famous matchup, as we all remember, the 2000 AFC title game. Who did we beat? Obviously, we beat the Oakland Raiders. But, Brandon, I'm going to throw this out to you. I'm going to see if you recall. I'm going to see how good your Ravens streak is. Are you ready?
Oh, okay. I'm terrible at trivia, but let's do this.
Oh, I know you want to have fun. Trust me. But it's more for you and fans out there. I just want to get started because I actually know the answer, so I really can't. You know, it wouldn't be fun for me to play myself because I actually do know these answers. I know cheat sheets are not in front of me. I wish I could have a game or something. I have nothing in front of me. But... here we go. In that AFC title game against Oakland, what was the defining play that sealed the Ravens' fate to the Super Bowl?
I have no idea.
Oh, come on, man. Everybody knows this. Was the Raven card taken away?
I have no idea. Was it? Did Ray Lewis dance on someone's grave or something?
It was the big Shannon Sharp catch, the 96-yard reception.
Oh, right.
Yep. It was the third down and slam play, and he just took off. I remember that play vividly. That was great. Because I knew at the moment that game was won at that point. sex is one of the tidbits, and we've had some, you know, Ravens-Raiders battles throughout the years. Actually, the Ravens are, including that playoff game, are 6-1 all-time against Oakland, which is pretty cool. And just there's some tidbits out there. Actually, it was funny, and I wish I had taken a picture and put it on Twitter. I might do that tomorrow. But I have a Ravens calendar on my desk, one of those tear-offs every day, gives you trivia, gives you facts. They said on this day, in 1998, the Ravens actually played the Raiders, and McCrary had 4 sacks in that game. The Ravens won 13-10. I thought that was pretty cool. And obviously, for our late listeners, we're recording on November 8th, which would be a Thursday of this week. But yes, today, Thursday, November 8th, you know, 1998, at this day, the Ravens played the Raiders, and McCrary had 4 sacks. I think that was pretty cool. You know, McCrary had 4 sacks on this day year to date, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, previewing a couple other games, there's 2 things I want to touch on is pretty unique in the Ravens' history. What team did the Ravens play in their first game ever as a franchise? Give you a hint, they played a Sunday.
Let me think about that. Could it be Oakland in any way? The Oakland A's. Maybe it's the Oakland A's.
John Madden wasn't coaching it, but yes, it was the Oakland Raiders.
Raiders.
Scored that? Yes, it was the Oakland Raiders. Ravens did win that game 19-10 at Memorial Stadium, the old Memorial Stadium. I'm sad to say it's gone. It was a great landmark.
Right, it used to be right by my house.
Yeah, right. It went in right behind your backyard.
It was pretty close, man. I could walk there.
You could walk there. You could still walk to M&T Bank, right?
Oh, yeah. That'll take a couple more hours, though.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. But yeah, the point I want to make on the Ravens' first game in history is they did beat the Raiders 19-10. But in that, lo and behold, I was going to tell you the first Ravens touchdown was, in fact, who do you think the Ravens' first touchdown would have been in that game?
I don't know.
It would have been actually, I researched this. It's the Vinny Testaverde 7-yard boot. The Vinny Testaverde scored, actually it was a 9-yard rush. He scored in the first quarter. Ravens went ahead 7-0. So, yeah, Vinny Testaverde himself scored the Ravens' first touchdown in the recorded books of history here. So,
oh, wow.
Very good to give you a tidbit. And the 2 more points in the Raiders of Lost Ark segment. I think they're pretty good tidbits. The Ravens played the Raiders in 2008, I believe. Yep, it was 2008. And remember Troy Smith, right? He was
right.
Like a Heisman winner from Ohio State, Peckland.
We drafted him.
Yeah, well, he threw a pass to Joe Flacco in that game. Remember that little trick gadget play where Flacco kind of tripped over himself? He wouldn't have had to. He probably would have scored a touchdown. The Ravens actually beat them 29-10 in that game. That was a fun game. Remember that game? It was a fun game to watch. I couldn't remember that trick play, but I remember that play because it was just like, oh my god, that was one of these plays that just stands out to me in Ravens history, and I love that play. And last but not least, I wanted to throw out there another statistic. This is one of the probably the long-lost statistics that really, unless you really follow this guy like I do closely,
right,
you really don't know. But Ray Lewis actually first notched his first career interception in his first career game with the Ravens, and it was in the Ravens-Raiders game, the same game that we were back to when Vinny Testaverde scored it. Who was that quarterback that threw that interception?
Oh, God, now you're asking me Oakland Raiders trivia.
Hey. Yeah, it was pretty fun.
God, I don't know.
It was not Jeff George.
Jeff Gordon? No, that's a NASCAR guy.
Hey. Yeah, Jeff George, remember. I'll give you a hint. It sounds like a hillbilly nickname.
Hillbilly nickname? Is it Billy Bob in Subway?
Well, Billy's the first name. It was actually Billy Joe Hobart.
That does sound like a...
I'm not kidding. Look it up. It's an actual... Yeah. I remember Ray Lewis said that in an interview once. They asked him what it was for, and he goes, it was Billy Joe Hobart. I'll never forget it. And I actually looked it up. It is. It was in the same game. Ray Lewis got his first career interception. So, again, you know, this brings up some of the Raiders of the Lost Ark because it's some long-lost statistics/trivia that we really wouldn't think about, and I just want to throw it out there for some Ravens lore, some Ravens history. You can write that down, put it in your history books. I thought that was, you know, pretty fun to go over. You know, I always look for something new and different, refreshing. You know, I kind of like to do things differently on the call, and obviously you wouldn't disagree on that, so I never want to be the same old, you know, I don't want to see any same old sports podcast, same old Ravens podcast. I like to be different. Again, to summarize it, that was our Raiders of Lost Ark segment. I hope everybody enjoyed that. And, that's pretty much all I got for the Raiders Lost Ark, unless you got any Lost Ark artifacts out there we want to find. But I think I used my Indy map, and we're going to get back on a 7-2 track win this weekend. I'm going to predict I'm going to predict a good win here. Let me pull my prediction card out of the bag. I'm going to reach damn deep, and I'm going to predict a 27. I'm going to predict a 27-13 score. I think that's going to be a good mix of run and pass ratio for our team here, and I think it's going to come out in a 27-13 win. What would you say?
I think you're right there. I think you got a good mind for this, but I'm going to say 32-7.
You're reaching high for the stars on this one, buddy.
I'm hoping, man. We're going to be there, so I'm hoping that they're going to, you know, to put this team away. I hope that the offense shows up, and I hope it's just because we're there, and then they're going to make us go to every game. That's my plan.
Well, me and you got to rest up our voices. We're going to be hoarse on Monday, and I don't know about you, but I got a day to recover because we're off on Monday for Veterans Day, and God bless America, and God bless our veterans. Almost forgot, man. Oh, they tried to lock the balls up for me, but I took some out of the cage, but forgot to get the gay balls out, man.
You're pulling right. A Flacco and just stealing them.
I'm telling you, I get so wound up in these shows, you got to keep me on point. I mean, I need a secretary or something. You're like, give me a script.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm going to forget to pass out the game balls in Cleveland because, like I said, you know, they tried to put the balls and the equipment away on me. But I got some out here, and I'm going to spread some joy around, get some pigskin around here. And my first pigskin goes to, I'm going to pick Ed Reed on this one. Almost think he's the one because he dropped the interception, but he redeemed himself. Ed Reed's got to get a game ball with a couple, you know, attempted picks. I say a pick and a half because he actually had it and he lost it. He has paws on it, so I'm going to say a pick and a half for Mr. Ed Reed. And another game ball. I'm actually going to split the game balls here. We're going to give a lot out. Another game ball goes to Bernard Pierce. First NFL touchdown. Nice split carries with Ray Rice. I think that was a great ratio. 12 carries for him, 25 for Ray Rice. It spelled pretty great. And I'm actually going to give another game ball and another to Flacco. I'm actually going to give it to Flacco. And some fans might question me and say, why, Josh? Why are you going to give it to Joe Flacco? You know, this I think he does. You know, he's Joe Floyd. He's an NFL quarterback. Another win under his belt. He led the team. He led the team when it became because obviously the defense wasn't there because the defense isn't going to get any game ball because, as we discussed earlier, we didn't really pass rush. We couldn't get to Brandon Whedon. But with our offense, it was the best defense. We kept them in check, and we scored when we needed to score. We got the 14 points ahead to get ahead. Then we scored the late touchdown with Torrey Smith at the end, and Joe Flacco showed the poise that he can make the throws. They made the adjustments. I think going back, summarizing it all up, I think that with the offense getting lost in the second, third quarters, the Cleveland Browns made adjustments, as what we did in certain games this year too, and it has been against us. Teams on the fly make adjustments. That's how we adjust in the second half and end up turning a team around or hold the game around for that matter and winning a football game. So my game balls respectively go out to Flacco. It's more of the offense this week because they got it done and team effort there. And we're going to raise the game ball high for the team because without all integral parts, it wouldn't have happened. So that's my game balls for this week.
I like it, man. I have no other ones to give out. I completely agree with you with that. So,
we forgot about our boy Kerry Williams. I just knew.
Well, you know what?
That.
He's getting so many now.
Before
it was like, hey, man, you know, you'll get him if you're good. Now he's actually doing good. So we're giving to him every week. So I think he should just get his own, you know, as much as possible. But you got to give it to Ed Reed a little bit. He's definitely shown what he can. He's working through an injury and everything. So I think Ed Reed deserves it.
Ed Reed deserves it. Speaking of injuries, you know, my concern is for Haloti Ngata coming out of this game. He was a non-factor, I think, for the first time in, I think, his whole career here. He did not notch a tackle or a stat. I don't even think he was on the stat sheet to go back and look, and that was kind of disappointing. And I think that, you know, that injury is somewhat bothering him, and it's just a disappointing shame right now because we need everybody we can get. We need all hands on deck going down the stretch run here. It's not going to get any harder. We face a lot of great competition going down the stretch, and it's going to show what this team's made of. If we can rest and get healthy, we have no more bye weeks. Hopefully we can work to a first-round bye in the NFL playoffs so we can get a rest at the end of the year and a much-needed rest and restoration and a home game if that. That's what my key concerns going into this week's Sunday's game is the injuries. And I think getting everybody involved in the game plan and really executing that game plan and not getting away from it, this is going to be key for the football team. And how the Ravens execute that is going to be on their shoulders. You know, the game plan is going to be laid out there. You know, they're going to game plan for certain people. Whether McFadden plays or not is to be determined. Again, I think he's going to be inactive, and they do have weapons, and it's going to be a game. I did predict 27-13. You predicted 30-7 win or 33. Again, you know, we can do predictions all day long until they play the games. It's going to be what it is. I think it's going to be a great game. You know, we're not going to look for an easy game. This shouldn't be overlooked because we have three. I mean, I'd say three. Every game's going to be hard, but we have two out of three against Pittsburgh coming up. San Diego mix in the middle. We have two straight road games. So after today, we won't see the Ravens at home until the Steelers game in the first week in December. So this is our only home game. Like, we had one back in October with the Cowboys. Now this is our only home game here in November. But we get loaded with three out of five home games at the end of the year at home in December. So I think when we start playing our best football, and I'm looking for Terrell Suggs to wreak havoc in the backfield. I'm with this defense. I'm going to set this defense right now. If any of the defensive players is listening, please pass this on to Dean Pease or whoever, or Hardball. I'm looking for minimum three sacks. Can you guys handle that? Thank you. I know someone heard it. But, Brandon, I'm looking for a minimum of three sacks. This has to stop. There's no pressure. I actually was crunching numbers here. And if you look at it, I think it was back in, I want to say, I don't know the year, so forgive me on this one. I'm usually good at my stats here for the Ravens, but I think it was either 09 or 07. It's right in the 07, 08, 09 range. The Ravens had 28 sacks on the year. Right now they have 13. They're on pace for 26. They need to get more sacks in that column up there because this has to stop. If anybody watched the Monday night game, Vic got barraged, and that goes again to his weak offensive line. We have a strong defensive line right now. But the Saints were bringing the house, and they knew it, and Vic had no time to throw. And that goes back to pressure. If you don't have that quarterback any time to throw, you get him off the field, you get our offense on the field and move the ball. Again, it's an easy formula to win the game, but we have to execute it properly. And that's my opinion for the Sunday game, and that's the key to the game. And I think, all in all, I think obviously we'll be 7-2. We're not going to lose at home against the Oakland Raiders. If we do, wow, I'm going to be utterly shocked walking out of that stadium.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be shocking. I think the key, like you just said, it's all going to be all about that pressure. And, you know, that's what they got to do. They got to keep that pressure on. So hopefully we'll see a lot of that. We'll be seeing it live in person on Sunday. So definitely something to think about. If any of you guys, again, if you want to hang out with us, talk to us or anything, we'll be in section 517. We'll be partying a little bit earlier in Lot H if you want to come by and say hi. We'd love to talk to you. Anybody want to be on the show, we'd love to interview you before the game. So
while you're at that too, you know, with the pictures, and I feel right with you. Anybody feel free, wants to stop to the section, feel free. I like to, you know, put a twit pick up there and post one for the show. But I'm going to put an extra bounty on it. I'm going to open my, you know, open heart here and open my wallet as well. For I say the first fan that recognizes our show and comes out to us and hangs out, I say I'm going to either treat him to a round, or hey, I'll even buy him a food item. I'm going to be that generous. I think it'll be great to see. So I'm going to put a price on it. If you want your phone or tummy full, come on up. But I'm going to throw an incentive out there. So fans, come on up. See us in 517, as Brandon just noted. And I'd be more than happy to treat you guys, you know, and again, and not to say, you know, we're going to bribe anybody, but we appreciate the support on the show. Again, I'm going to be very sincere about that. Again, you know, we wish everybody success in the world, and, you know, and we, of course, going to wish our own, but again, it doesn't happen without you guys downloading and listening and retweeting it and getting excited about the episodes every week. So, and to reiterate what Brandon just said, I really appreciate you guys, and I'm going to be, I'll treat the first fans or fans that come up and, you know, want to shout out to us and enjoy some games with us.
Yeah, that sounds totally cool. Hopefully, you know, if I come up and say, oh my God, you're Josh from the call, hopefully you get me a pretzel or something. But, you know, you don't have to. I mean, whatever.
because I'm Mr. Nice Guy. And hey, oh, I forgot to throw this out there. We'll be in Lot H. Again, Lot H right next to the stadium in the overpass, under the overpass. So if anybody wants to throw out a tailgate spot, or if anybody's there, and feel free to, we'll be walking around. We'll be saying hi to everybody, and we'll be in our own lot as well. So again, you know, feel free to stop by and see us in Lot H, and, you know, we're going to try to check out some tailgate spots, and feel free to tweet wherever your lots are. I'll be more than happy, and I'm sure Brandon would be more than happy to help you join. Well, you know, actually, I'm going to throw this out there. He's admitted to me, and I'm really going to bust you on this one, Brandon, but I'm going to bust your newbie on this one. Is you've never been tailgating at a game.
I've never been to a Ravens tailgate. Usually I take a bus down there, and I do Ravens walk and go in. I've never done a tailgate, so I'm excited to see what this is going to be like.
You're going to break you in, because trust me, you're going to see some things. You're going to be like, we're really going to have fun this week talking about the tailgate, the game, being at the game, and then, of course, my favorite. I can't say it enough. Steeler Hate Week number one. I live for this. So trust me, it's going to be fun, fans. And, you know, hey, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure talking Ravens football once again, and NFL football, that matter, any football. I just love talking football. I love talking Ravens, Baltimore sports. Very passionate. Let's go, guys. That's pretty much all we got on the call today.
That's pretty. So we got everything covered?
If not, I think Ed Reed's got it, two-thirds of the cover.
If you want any more Ravens news or anything like that, of course you can follow me on Twitter, at Brando Cash. And Josh, he's on Twitter too, and he's always posting all kinds of Raven news. So where can people follow you on Twitter?
People can follow me on Twitter at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. And if you like this show or any of the other shows on the at Brando Cash Network, make sure you go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like the page over there. We'll be posting new episodes, news about other shows like Poe's Peep Show, a female perspective on Baltimore football. Next week episode of that's going to be really good because they went to the Purple Ladies Night last Monday, so they're going to give a report about that. So make sure you tune into Poe's Peep Show as well as The Call. If you're listening to The Call on anything besides iTunes, make sure you go over to iTunes and click subscribe. That way, whenever a new episode gets posted, it gets automatically downloaded straight into your iTunes or on the podcast app on your iPhone. It's that simple. And make sure you leave us a review on iTunes, kind of help us, you know, climb the ladder of the iTunes ranks. And hey, tell other people about it, you know, retweet us, tweet whatever you want, tell people you're listening to The Call, Facebook it, Tumblr, Pinterest. I don't even know what else is out there. If you're still on MySpace, go do that. I don't care. Just tell people you're listening to The Call, and that'll help us out and help this show get even bigger and better than ever. So thank you so much for listening. Josh, you know what to do. Send us away.
Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high on Sunday, guys.
This has been a production of the at Brando Cash Network.